Thank you, Lord, that we can praise you and worship you and the enemy scatters. Amen? He takes off. Thank you, Lord. We thank God for what he's doing right now, tonight, right here. And Prophet Dean is going to come up and teach us for about the next 45 minutes to an hour. If you have to go, you are free to go. But we want to hear what the Lord has put in his spirit for us tonight. Is that right? So let's stand up and welcome the man of God. Give the Lord a praise. Hallelujah.
Okay, thanks.
I totally misunderstood your question.
Okay. All right, that's all right.
Thank you all so much. Thank you so much. I appreciate that warm welcome and the heartfelt worship that you enjoyed. You joined in with me on. That's what I was trying to say.
Yes.
Amen. As we know, the Lord inhabits the praises of his people.
Yes.
And that only occurs when his people praise him. So I can lead, but we all need to worship.
Yeah.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So it's good to see you all. And I bring you greetings from my lovely wife, Lisa. She's at home. And it's a little bit of a long trip for her to come on with me. We'll be gone for about 8 days. And we have a junior in high school playing football. And he scored 2 touchdowns Friday night. Yes. Hallelujah. So that was pretty exciting. And I'm proud. But it's so good to be with you. You've come a long way.
Yes.
The first introduction to your ministry was at the theater many, many years ago.
Yeah.
And so we praise the Lord for what he's done through you, and what he has depended on you to do.
Amen.
God loves to co-labor.
Yeah.
And he can do many things, but there's, as Bishop taught us, there are certain things he won't do without us. And everything he's going to do is going to be with us.
Right.
And so we all have a role and we all have a part. And so tonight, I want to speak to you as a prophet, as an apostolic prophet, speaking the word of the Lord for this season, for the church. And I'm going to speak on a certain level, and I'm going to speak on another level. So I'm going to speak on the global level of the kingdom, but I'm going to bring it down to you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen. Because all of us have a role.
Yeah.
In every place. No matter if you're just born again, you've always had a role. You may be just now awakening to it. And it doesn't matter if you've messed up over the last 30 years, you still have a role. Always have. Now, what I want to share with you, and I think you have my main slide up. Do you have it up?
Yep.
Okay. I like to keep things simple because I'm simple. I use faith pictures or little words or something that helps me remember what I need to know. Okay? So what do you see so far?
God made you.
So you get the message?
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's go. Okay. I want to make 3 statements that I want you to agree with me once you hear them. Okay? God is doing something new.
Amen.
Amen. God has something for me to do. I'm doing it. Amen? Is that simple enough? It's God, me, do it. Alright? So I want you to remember that. Okay. So, what is God doing is the next question. You know, as prophetic people, you hear that all the time, don't you? God is doing something new. Why do we always say that? Because he is. Right? He's doing something new. Even if it's new to me. He's doing something new and it's coming alive in me and I'm responding to his word. I'm responding to what he's doing. God has a plan, and when he finishes one section, he goes to the next. Okay? So how many appreciate new mercies? Every morning. Amen. How many appreciate the new sunrise?
Amen.
Every morning.
Yeah.
All right. So it's okay with me that God is always doing something new.
Yeah.
Yeah. Amen. I appreciate that very, very much. Yeah. Amen. So on the kingdom level, okay, what is God doing that is new? Well, God has activated and pulled the switch on movement number 3. Okay, can everybody say that? Movement number three.
Movement number three.
And what that is Bishop and many other leaders have been speaking to us about the next Reformation. Okay? And so on a global kingdom level, God is changing things on the earth to line up with His plan. Now, worship number three is what I'm calling the next worship movement. It goes along with the next apostolic reformation. Okay? Revelation 21 verse 3 says this, "And I heard a loud voice say, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with man." All right? "And God Himself will be with them."
Amen.
Amen? "And He will be their God, and they will be His people."
Yes.
"And no one shall teach Him, saying, Know the Lord, for they all shall know Him."
Yeah.
Okay? So we need to understand that God is moving us from that place. And when God does something on the earth, it's because something has changed in the heavens. And we need to reflect what has changed on the earth. What has happened in heaven. "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So when God changes something, He has to change us on earth and mess with us on earth to get us out of our habits into the next thing that He wants to do. All right? How many appreciate God and do good things? All right? And He comes along and changes it, and you go, "God, there was nothing wrong with that. I kind of liked what we were doing." And God says, "I know, but I don't need that anymore. Because what it symbolized has changed, and I don't want you walking around with the wrong symbol, or the wrong faith, or the wrong understanding." Okay? Remember the veil that God put up? For centuries taught us to put the veil up. When Jesus died on the cross, paid the price once and for all, what happened to the veil? Why? Why did God do that? He didn't need it anymore. Why did He not need it? Because the message it represented was no longer true.
Right.
God was no longer separated from His people.
Right.
Christ, the mediator, the Lamb, had paid the price once and for all, and He became the veil of flesh by which we all enter.
Amen.
So Jesus said, God said, "I'm getting rid of that symbol because it's no longer valid." All right? So when God moves upon the earth and changes things, He begins to move on four groups of people. First of all, it's the prophets. He begins to speak through the prophets what He's doing. He begins to speak through the leaders of the church what He is doing. Okay? Second of all, He begins to quicken the psalmist, and they begin to write new songs. Thirdly, He begins to summon the artisans that they would create new things. And fourthly, He stirs the hearts of the people that they may worship with a new expectation. How many of you fit into one of those categories? That's all of us. Right? That's all of us. When God came along and told Moses, He said, "Moses, I want you to build tabernacle because I'm going to represent a place of atonement with my people that are scattered across the earth. And I'm going to have this symbolically represent what's going to happen in the future." So Moses instituted the Day of Atonement, the pattern of atonement. The outer court, the inner court, the Holy of Holies. Okay? And something changed in the heavens and changed the earth. See what happened? God made a promise to Abraham. And He said, "Abraham, out of you the families of the earth shall be blessed."
Amen.
And then God came along and instituted something along the lines that would begin to allow people to understand God was holy and He was going to make a way for them to be holy.
Mm-hmm.
You see, some of the problem is we always get it wrong that God was holy and we were not. That wasn't the symbolism of the tabernacle. It was that God was holy and He was going to make a way for us to be holy.
Amen.
Through the atonement, through the shedding of blood, through the sacrificial lamb.
Amen.
Okay? God could not fellowship with us in our current condition, so He was releasing a way to do it. Okay, everybody got that?
Yeah.
So when God came along and changed something with David, He began to change on the earth the way we worship. He began to prophesy to David. He began to speak to David and say, "David, I want you to raise up, you know, a temple." And He says, "David, you shall do sacrifices of praise, thanksgiving, and joy instead of animals." And David began to prophesy new covenant worship before Christ ever came.
Okay.
He did that. He demonstrated new covenant worship before new covenant ever existed. So David began to write new songs. Moses summoned the artisans to create new things. It stirred the hearts of the people that they would give new things. And I want you to understand right now, everybody has a part in what God is doing.
Amen.
Okay? You may not call yourself an artisan, but you are a creative being. Because you're made in the image of God.
Amen.
Right? So we want to understand that when God moves upon the hearts, when He brings about changes, He activates four groups of people. So let's revisit those four groups, okay? We call them prophets or leaders. Psalmists, musicians. All right? Artisans are the makers. And then the people are the movers. So we have the messengers, the musicians, the makers, and the movers. Everybody gets to do something.
Amen.
And the prophetic nature in what God is doing is He sends it forth in the earth and says, this is going to change in heaven. I want you to prepare for it on earth.
Yes.
And see, the tabernacle of God is the third worship movement. When I begin to ask God about this, you know, third apostolic reformation, the third apostolic awakening, the third day anointing, God, is there something that's going to change in worship? And God took me to Revelation 21, verse 3. See, we've had the tabernacle of Moses, we've had the tabernacle of David, but now we're going to have the tabernacle of God. Okay? Now, when I say to you, the tabernacle of Moses, who do you think of? The tabernacle of Moses, who do you think of? When I say the tabernacle of David, who do you think of? When I say the tabernacle of God, who do you think of? Okay? Moses taught us how. David taught us how. But God comes. Everything that we did prior to God's tabernacle pointed to the direction of what was coming. Okay? Everything we did pointed to what was coming. And God is now pointing the direction at us. He's coming our direction. He's saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with man. Right? So everything we longed for is becoming fulfilled.
Amen.
And as prophetic people, we have to kind of get stuck between what we long for before it gets here. We have to act as if it's already here.
Amen.
And demonstrate what is coming so the earth can catch up when it finally happens.
Amen.
See, David was generations ahead when he began to worship like New Covenant worship. And Acts 15:16 said, I'm restoring the tabernacle of David. Okay. Why? Because God made a promise to Abraham. He said, out of you the Gentiles will be blessed. And He raised up David as a promise to Abraham. You understand me? Why? Because God said, I'm going to have man after my own heart. And he will demonstrate what's going to happen. He made a promise to David and said, David, someone on your throne is going to rule forever. He raised up Jesus as a promise to David. And why do we know this? Why is this connected? Because when God makes a promise, He'll move heaven and earth to make it happen. Okay? And when Jesus, after Jesus was ascended, after they had, you know, gone, the book of Acts, in Acts 15, the Gentiles were receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. They were receiving miracles, signs, and wonders, and had never heard of Moses. They hadn't heard of Moses. They probably didn't even know who David was. To know if they were in David's tabernacle or Moses' tabernacle. Right? They were Gentiles. But the argument was, how can they do that without following the customs of Moses? And you know the story. This is where James stood up with Acts 15:16, went back to Amos 9:11 and said, look, it is written, in that day I will restore the tabernacle of David. I will raise up its ruins so that the rest of mankind, or so that the Gentiles who are called by my name may seek the Lord. So when did we hear that before? Abraham, in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed. Then you come along and you see all the families of the earth being blessed. And James said, this is fulfilled, the prophecy about the tabernacle of David being restored. So God made a promise. He made a promise to Abraham, made a promise to David, made a promise and to Jesus. You know what He made a promise to Jesus? He said, ask of me and I will give you the nations as an inheritance. So here we are, the Gentiles are getting saved, which was a promise God made Abraham. God's made some promises to you.
Amen.
And God's raising up people to fulfill His promise to you.
Yes.
And you're raised up to fulfill someone else's promise.
Yes.
That God made them.
That's right.
Don't get the big head of God using you. He's just making good on His promise.
Yeah.
Right? You see, we need to understand this power, the covenant thing that God is doing in the earth.
Yes.
Okay? My family, we didn't have much money growing up, and I didn't have any lessons, didn't have money for that kind of stuff. Didn't even know what, you know, barely what was going on. We had old out-of-tune instruments, broken strings, beat-up guitars, but we had something around that we could play on.
Yeah.
And so, but my dad, when he got born again, he said to the Lord, "Lord, I'll give you my talent if you bless our kids with talent." He made a covenant with God. So I have 12 people in my family, 12 kids in my family. I'm number 11. And I thought I was the perfect child until I realized I had a younger brother. I just figured they kept trying to get the perfect child. But anyway. But I want you to know all 12 of us can sing. We can harmonize and half of us can play instruments. But I was an adult and was well into my career of ministry and music before I actually heard of that story. I guess they figured everybody had heard it and was aware of it. You know how that happens. I didn't know about this. I did not know. But what God told me, I said, "God, how is it that I can be blessed in a covenant I didn't even know existed?"
Yeah.
And God said, "Because you are a son of the covenant."
Amen.
See, you are a son and daughter of the covenant of God.
Amen.
And He's put some things in you that He needs today.
That's right.
He's drawn some things out of you that He needs
today.
Because He's got a great plan. And He doesn't want to do it alone.
Yeah.
So there's a sound from heaven that God is releasing.
Yeah.
And from every corner, cave, and couch, God is calling you forth.
Yeah.
I want you to hear me. Every corner, cave, and couch, God is calling you forth. If you've been hiding in a corner, your punishment is over. It's time to come out. If you've been hiding in a cave, your shame has been reconciled. It's time to come out. If you've been sitting on the couch, get up. It's time to get up, all right? There's no place you can hide from the summoning of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
There's no excuse you can give for not answering the call of God.
Amen.
All right? This time. Every corner, every cave, every couch, it's covered. All right? Whether you've been punished, whether you've been ashamed, or you've been lazy, it's over.
Yeah.
Right? It's over. It's time to move on. Isaiah 40:26. Can you share that scripture with us? Is that the next one? Oh well, you'll have to read it like the old-fashioned way. You have to hear me declare. Isaiah 40:26. Look up into the heavens. Who created all the stars? He brings them out like an army, one after another, calling each by its name. Because of His great power and incomparable strength, not a single one is missing. See, God is sending forth a sound, and He's calling you forth. Because He's doing something new, and He needs you. Okay? He's calling you by name.
Yes.
Do you realize that the stars He calls out by name? Like an army. And stars don't shine, they burn. There's a passion inside of you. Some of you felt like it's almost gone out. No. God's breathing His breath on you. He is fanning that flame again. It's coming alive in you. Some of you have been getting ideas and you don't even know what to do with them. You feel like you don't fit in. You see, there's an anointing on what God is about to do. Some of you feel out of place because your place hasn't been created yet. See, this next wave of worship, this next thing that God is doing, is going to overwhelm the earth with His glory. It's about more people than ever, experiencing more of God than ever, and more places than ever before. He needs you, where you are, where you go every day, to show forth His glory. Every single one of us has a role to play. God is summoning us and calling us forth by name. So, God is doing something new. Do you know what it is? Let's review. He's activated the third worship movement. Okay? And you're part of that. He's activated the next reformation in the church. And you're a part of that. You see, we need to do something new because when we take up a new position, we get new revelation. We can't write and create and do all these things from our existing position because it's not going to line up with the next move. Alright? So our understanding begins to form anew when we get a new position of revelation, a new authority. Okay? Everybody understand that? So when we write songs, we have a starting point. Okay, what is our reference that we're starting from? Well, we know that God is on the throne. We know that this. We know that David praised the Lord. So we begin to write from a revelation at that starting point. But when God changes our starting point, we can write from a new perspective. He's quickening the psalm, he's quickening the quill of the psalmist that we may write new. Psalm 45 verse 1 says, "My tongue is the pen of a ready writer. I will recite my composition to the king."
Yes.
So God is moving on you. Some of you got writer's block and you don't know why. Some of you are trying to create but you hit a wall. That's because God's actually going to take you out of your current room and put you in a new. You don't have writer's block. You just don't belong where you are. Hear me what I'm saying. Some of us are trying to block, go through the wall when God is saying, just use the door. Because I have something new for you. And we need to understand that God is moving so far on us behalf. It's amazing what He's doing. So, God is doing something new, and we just respect. Now, God has something for me to do. Everybody say that.
God has something to do.
Everyone on this planet is created with a purpose. We all know that. Right? So what does that mean? It means you have something to do, and you should do it.
Yes.
And discover what it is. God has something for me to do. Now, just very simplistic, we all know the thought pattern of what are your skills? What are your gifts? What are your talents? What are you good at? What burns in your soul? What problem do you want to solve? What need do you want to fill? What do others say that you're good at? All that's part of your plan of discovery. Proverbs 25 verse 2 said, "It is the glory of God to conceal a matter, but it's the glory of kings to uncover the matter." See, God's glory is not something that's beyond our ability to experience it. You understand what I'm saying? In other words, it's not so far off that we don't know what God's doing. God is with us. God is with us. Okay? And think about that. God's glory is in playing hide and seek with you. He has hidden some things He wants you to discover. And when you discover those things, you begin to know Him more and more. And you begin to reach areas that God has ordained for you, but He wants you to burn for it. He needs you to pursue your own purpose so you can fulfill His plan.
Amen.
And you have a role. Everybody say,
I have a role.
I have a role in what God wants to do.
Amen.
Right? We have that? Right? And it's our job to figure out what it is. But we have to wake up to what God wants us to do. When God created Adam, understand this. He created Adam, a living being, out of the dust of the earth, right? But do you know before He breathed into Adam, God had already prepared everything for Adam? So Adam woke up to his purpose. Some of y'all have been sleeping. And you're about to wake up. to purpose and something new. He said, here's what we need to understand. Our creative part of us doesn't mean we have to be artistic. It just means we have to be like God. Some of us create songs. Some of us create art. Some of us create jewelry. Some of us create resolutions. Some of us create answers. We solve problems.
Amen.
We build houses. We install electricity. My brother-in-law is a builder, and he doesn't just build houses. He creates homes for the Holy Spirit to dwell in.
Amen.
For families to be healed in. That's what he prays for.
Amen.
And what we're finding is we're waking up. See, God created Adam, then he breathed into Adam, and the Bible says he became a living being. The word breathe, so the word inspire, its archaic definition means to breathe into. So Adam became an inspired being just by the breath of God. You are an inspired being. Okay? God created Adam, then he inspired him. Then he flipped it around and said, now Adam, I'm going to inspire you to be creative. How did he do that? He brought Adam all the animals to see what he would call them. Isn't that what the Bible says? Now he brought in front of Adam all the animals to see what he would call them. See, God has given you some ideas, but he's waiting on you to see what you're going to do with them. And he's going to give you more as long as you keep doing something with the ideas he's given you. He's releasing ideas to you. Some of you have ideas, and like I said before, you don't know what to do with them. Let me explain something to you. How many of you have had prophetic words from God, and you feel like there's absolutely no way in this world I can do that? Relax, you're in good company. God told Adam to be fruitful and multiply, but did not give him an Eve.
Amen.
That word came before Eve was created. So what did he do? He went and named all the animals, did all he had to do. He come to a point in his life where he felt like, God, I've done all I know to do, but I have no clue how I can have dominion and multiply.
Yeah.
I look at all you've done, I see nobody like me. God brought him to a point where complete obedience brought him to a stopping point. And some of you feel like you're stopped because you've been disobedient. God is saying no. You've finished the task. You have completed your assignment. And I'm bringing you to the point where I'm going to divinely intervene on your behalf. And I'm going to create something in the earth that does not exist today, but it's going to be what you need for the future. Adam could not go to the next level because what he needed did not exist yet. But it was in the plans of God. Some of you have been getting ideas and you don't know where they fit. That's because it's not created yet. They belong in the next move of God.
Thank you, Lord.
God is stirring people all across this land of ours, all across the globe, and hearts of people. They're being stirred and they're yearning for things they don't even understand, and they're afraid to share them because they don't even know if they're going to fit. And God says, don't worry about their fitting. They're not going to fit now. They're going to fit next. Some of you have been odd and weird, and that's because you're odd and weird. But you're going to be normal. The atmosphere, the creation of God, the divine intervention of God is changing things even so that the crazy people are going to look sane. Hey. Now, hear me what I'm saying. Y'all understand what I'm saying, right? The reason it's odd is not because you're odd. It's just that you're hearing from the throne of heaven, like David did before Jesus came. And you're beginning to get ideas for eternity. You're beginning to get forms of worship that are going to last forever. You're beginning to get ideas on the earth that are going to be here forever. But only what's done for Christ will last.
Amen.
Eternal. The kingdom. God has already started doing what he wanted to do in the future eons ago when he sent Christ as Emmanuel, God with us.
Yeah.
Thank you, Lord. See, here's the deal. What God needs for His next move is inside of you. It's already there. He's placing a demand on you. And that's why some of you are feeling the yearning and the burning and the conviction and the regret. Something's stirring in you. Alright? Because God is calling forth out of you what He needs. He's placing a demand on what He put inside of you in your mother's womb where He knit you together. He did not need you in the book of Acts. He needs you now. For such a time as this. Such a time as this. You see, here's what we need to understand. Adam did not have everything he needed to go to the next level. But God did.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you.
And we may not have everything we need, but we have what God needs.
Yes.
Us. And God took out of Adam what He needed from Adam to take Adam to the next level. And God's drawn out of you what He needs for this next level. Now some of you are going to be able to do things, and you're going to step back like Adam, and you're going to look at Eve and go, I didn't know I had that in me. Imagine what Adam must have said when he saw Eve. That came from me. Whoa! And God is going to draw out of you what He needs to create the next thing. Some of you need to start businesses. You can't even make money yet because you don't have an entity to put the money in. The organization, you have not filed the papers yet. Some of you need to start your business. Start your organization. File your incorporation papers. Because the entity is being created. God is moving on our behalf. And we are discovering it. Now, let's wrap this up. Okay? So, we already know God is doing something new. We already know God has something for me to do. How many of you believe God has something for you to do?
Amen.
How many of you feel more encouraged about discovering what it is?
Amen.
How many of you feel more responsible about discovering what it is?
Amen.
Let me tell you, this is not a self-help message. It's a self-responsibility message.
All right.
You are responsible to become the most incredible human being that God designed you to be.
Amen.
Now let's talk about doing it. Let me give you three things for doing it. Okay? God is doing something new. God has something for me to do. I'm doing it. I've taken out the word, I'm going to do it. We don't need gonna's. I'm doing it.
Yeah, that's right.
So there's three things that you need to just do it.
Do it.
Eliminate excuses.
All right.
Hallelujah.
Eliminate excuses. Establish creative habits. Got that? Establish creative habits. And experience divine fulfillment. You know, there's nothing more fulfilling than making God happy. Right? And there's nothing more fulfilling than accomplishing something that you know you're supposed to be doing. Proverbs 13:19 says this, a desire accomplished is sweet to the soul. It feels good to accomplish something. Now, here's the thing. When you eliminate excuses, here's what happens. God gives you ideas, right? Ideas come to you, things come. But here's what happens. Ideas live when excuses die.
All right, that's good.
Let me repeat that because it's a long sentence. Ideas live when excuses die.
Amen.
Let me just tell you something. I talked a little bit about my background, but I want to let you know this. Lisa and I have been in worship ministry for over 30 years. Coming up on 35, 36, as long as we've been married. And we have produced 16 worship albums, 4 instrumental albums. I've written several books, several courses. We've been able to travel to several continents in prophetic praise and worship and teaching on apostolic movement of God. I have no Bible degree. I have no music degree. I have no college degree. Should I have gotten that? I don't know. In my understanding, it was not an option. There was no money for college. There was no understanding of college. There was no... But that's not the point. The point is, I did not let that stop me from pursuing what God had for me. And you shouldn't let your college degree stop you. There's 2 kinds of excuses that need to die. There are defensive and concealing excuses. The defending excuse builds up a wall and defends ourselves for what we should or should not have done, and it's a form of blaming someone else. Okay? Well, I'd have been here, but the traffic was bad. And then the question is it bad every Sunday? The defensive excuse, okay? That hides what we should or did or did not do. Okay? The concealing excuse hides shame. It's we don't want to get exposed about not knowing or not, you know, understanding something, so we're fearful, and our excuse conceals what we don't want people to know. We have a good friend in our network and pastor, Marty Layton, plays an amazing guitar, lives in Nashville. And he told me this joke. He said, how do you get a guitar player in Nashville to turn their amp down? I said, how? He says, put a piece of sheet music in front of them. I thought, I can relate to that one. Because I didn't learn to read music for years. I think I was 5 albums into production before I really started studying music theory. So I better understand more of this stuff, you know. But it's funny. I know that feeling. All right? So Proverbs 1:32 says this. The waywardness of the simple will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. Some of y'all have been blaming some old simple fool that's in your way. Who is that simple fool? All right, let's establish creative habits. See, creativity flows when habits are established. The only way I wrote over 100 songs was I consistently wrote songs. All right? That creative thought. There's a difference between inspiration and creativity. Inspiration can come at any time, but creativity requires an appointment with yourself.
That's right.
You have to make time to be creative.
Yeah.
Okay? Proverbs 12:27 says this, the lazy man does not roast what he took in hunting, but diligence is a man's precious possession. That's powerful scripture. Young people, do you want to know the secret to success? Do you want to have a superpower? Do you want to wear a cape someday? Or an iron suit? Do you know what the prize possession is? What is it? What is it? You can't read it. Diligence is a prized possession. You know, it's interesting about something that you love to do. And sometimes even what you love to do requires diligence. You have to stay at it, stay at it, stay at it. I probably practice piano 3 to 4 hours a week or more. But I didn't realize it because I was loving it. And I was going out there trying to figure out how to play and play this. And I figured out how to play piano about what sounded good and what didn't sound good. I press these keys, cool. Press these keys, ooh, no. Don't play those together. Just learn. But I realized that process of discovery. You see, the reason we practice is to discover how good we are.
Amen.
Not simply get better. We uncover what God has put in us by practicing and practicing. So diligence is your prized possession. All right? So when you do something, it's called an act. We use that term in prophetic training, activate. That means don't just hear about prophecy, start prophesying. All right? So don't just hear about, you know, doing something. You actually have to do it. So I want you to act with authority because God has called you. I want you to act with authenticity because you can't be anyone else. You've heard that saying? Be yourself. Everyone else is taken. And I want you to act with audacity. Be bold in being creative. The pain of rejection you feel inside your stomach are those ideas that are struggling to live before you die. Did y'all hear me? The pain of regret you feel inside of you are those ideas that are struggling to live before you die. Give them life. Answer the call. Now, I want to finish up tonight by singing a new song that I have. This song is about the sound of heaven sending forth a call to awaken your gifts, to let you know it's a new day. And let that sound of heaven move you to respond to the call of God. And I don't want you to just hear a song go by. I want you to hear the call of God. I want you to come alive to what it's saying. I want it to awaken in you what God has placed in you. Respond to what God is saying. I sing it as a prophet. I mean, you know, Isaiah sang prophecies.
Amen.
I sing it as a psalmist because God has quickened my pen, my quill, and I'm releasing new songs. I was out with Chuck Pierce back in January. I spoke at his conference. It was called The Year of the New Song. And Lisa, before I was going, the week before I left, I was studying. She said, "You need to write a new song." And so I said, "Okay." And I took that inspiration and I put creativity upon it and wrote the song. And it became a prophetic word to the body of Christ. I'm going to switch to the handheld if I could. I think it works better than a lapel when you're singing.
Got it muted?
All right. Thank you. Okay. So just receive and hear the Lord. Go to release that. Thank you, Jesus. From the heavens, a message beautiful to you. The sound awakening your calling is clear, so clear. Let the sound of heaven move you. The sound of heaven. Let it summon you to rise. Let the sound of heaven move you. The sound of heaven move you. Let your giftings prophesy. The sound of heaven moving. The sound of heaven moving.
the Lord. Stars in the heavens, God is calling, God is calling. Like the stars in the heavens, God is calling you by name. Like the stars in the heavens, God is calling, God is calling. Like the stars in the heavens, God is calling you by name. Let the sound of heaven move you. Let it sound a new world. Let the sound of heaven move you. Sound of heaven move you. Let your giftings prophesy. Let the sound of heaven move you. Sound of heaven move you. Let it sound a new world. Let the sound of heaven move. The sound of heaven move. Let your gifts prophesy. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.